Well, Dave, I want to thank you for allowing me to wake you up as you snuggled into bed there in Australia. But I think this is a very important story to get out. And you yourself have published a book called The Worst of Woomera. Can you just describe the book for us and maybe tell us a bit about the title and the contents?
It's a fairly small book. It's only 48 pages long. And it just briefly tries to tell the history of the refugee embassy, interspersed with profiles of various people who are being held prisoners at the Woomera Detention Center. It basically, I guess, shows how the problems these people have run away from and the problems they've encountered here in Australia are very similar, and they're also similar to the problems that the refugee embassy found in trying to establish contact between the general public and the people being held at Woomera.
Well, Dave, could you just explain what the refugee embassy is?
It's just a friend of mine and myself who went out to Woomera at Easter time when there was the big demonstration with a couple thousand of Australians trying to express support for the refugees. And we felt something needed to be done on a more long-term basis, so we decided to stay on there and try to visit the refugees, you know, through legal means and see whether, you know, we could offer some encouragement so that they didn't feel that they were forgotten when everybody went back home after Easter.
And were you allowed inside?
No, not really. We did get in once. It took us about 10 days of phoning and faxing and visiting and haranguing the people there until we finally did manage to get one visit, and then we were officially declared banned. We're the only two people in Australia that are sort of officially banned, because the policy basically was that anybody can visit the people at Woomera as long as you don't visit them. And because we turned up, then we had to be banned.
Well, maybe we could just backtrack. I mean, we are dealing with a North American audience here. Could you explain what Woomera is and maybe describe some of the case studies in your book from Worst of Woomera?
Okay, well, Woomera is one of about a half a dozen detention centers scattered around Australia. Woomera is one of the most remote, stuck out at the edge of the Australian desert, well over 100 miles from the nearest town of any size, and several hundred miles from a major city. The boat people who come to Australia, you know, people trying to make onshore applications for asylum, are put in these detention centers. And the biggest concern we have, besides the fact that they're just put there to begin with, is that they are so remote and that so much effort has been made to actually cut them off from any kind of communication with the general public. Even when photographs were given out as evidence that this is a story that became quite scandalous in Australia, the government claimed that these boat people were throwing their children overboard. I mean, it's practically like accusing them of cannibalism or something. They were asked to give evidence. When they gave photographs of people in the water where a boat had actually just sunk, they made special effort not to let the faces be shown of any of them, because they said that if this was said secretly but revealed later, that if the Australian public saw the faces of the people, then they would begin to start sympathizing with them, and they didn't want that. That, we feel, was the main reason for putting them in these remote places, including islands in the Pacific, to keep them away from the general public, and we were trying to combat that.
And where are these individuals coming from, Dave?
Most of them at the moment are from Afghanistan and from Iran. I mean, there are other places where few individuals have come from, you know, Palestinians, people from Pakistan and places like that, but primarily from Afghanistan and Iran, and people basically fleeing from the same people that Australia is fighting. You know, we go over and we fight the Taliban, but then when someone runs away from the Taliban and comes here, we fight them too. And Australians just seem to be incapable of telling the difference between those who are on our side and those who are against us.
And is there widespread support among Australians for this kind of remote detention policy and automatic detention of anybody that comes by boat or without papers?
Yeah, unfortunately, there is. Australia has a long history I suppose because of being a European colony in the Asia-Pacific region, there's been this kind of fear for a long time that the hordes from the north, you know, that whether it was going to be the Chinese or the Japanese or somebody was going to come in and take over Australia. They developed a White Australia policy, which went for a long time, where nobody was allowed in Australia except people of European descent. So it's a kind of a racist background that some Australians convinced ourselves we were over when we stopped the White Australia policy and started letting people come in from Asia. But now it's all coming back out once again.
Well, Dave, could you share a few stories from Worst of Woomera?
Now, primarily, the title of the book, I should explain, is that the government told us when we went out to Woomera for the demonstration that if we wanted to support refugees, we should go to some other place besides Woomera, because Woomera is where the worst cases are sent. And this demonization of refugees, you know, suggesting that they're all terrorists or criminals or up to no good, was sort of especially true as far as Woomera was concerned. We were told these were the worst cases. There were at that time 334 detainees being held there, and they said, you know, forget these guys, they're the ones that are going back. In just a month or so, the numbers had dropped to about 200, 220. Over 100 of them had not been sent back. In fact, they'd been given temporary protection visas and accepted as refugees. So we then decided to set about with the remaining 220 refugees to have a look at these people who were supposedly the worst, or in this case, we were now looking at the worst of the worst. And we discovered that the cases, even amongst these people, were tragic stories of a real, genuine human suffering. And if it's the case, then one can only guess, you know, what the stories were for those many hundreds of refugees who have been accepted and just quietly led into the country. Okay, so we want some stories of some of them. I guess probably the most famous one now at the moment is the Bakhtiari family, a case where the father had come to Australia 4 years ago, applied for a visa, given one in about 6 months or something like that, as a refugee from Afghanistan, and then his family arrived about 2 years later. His wife and five children, they were locked up at Woomera, and they're still at Woomera now. And the government has said they don't believe this family are genuine refugees. On some technicality, the government has rejected them and tried to claim that they're not from Afghanistan, even though they accept that the father is. This family has particularly become famous at the moment because there was an outbreak and two of the boys escaped, and they went and sought asylum at the British consulate this week. But 7 hours after they arrived, they were kicked out even by the British, apparently because the British were afraid to, get John Howard or Philip Ruddock upset. And the British approach was that, you know, as co-signatories of United Nations conventions on refugees, one country cannot offer asylum from another country. We have to sort of turn a blind eye to the injustices going on in each other's countries. Because you see, these boys were not seeking asylum from Afghanistan. By going to the British consulate, they were seeking asylum from Australia, and rightly so, because they've been held for over a year and a half without any charges against them. They're minors. They're in an environment where suicide attempts are happening nearly every day, locked behind razor wire in the middle of the desert, beaten when they do such innocent things as going on a hunger strike. They were submitted to tear gas while trapped inside a cage, pepper spray sprayed at them. I mean, basically just torture whenever it suits the guards there to take action against them. So the situation of that family is just one of many within the book.
And this policy of locking up detainees and has been going on in Australia since 1992, is that correct?
I'm not sure, actually. I'll trust you on that one. I know it has been going on for a fair while. I guess the general public in Australia really didn't become aware. I certainly myself did not become aware of it until a couple of years ago. We just turned a blind eye. I guess we were busy living our lives and totally indifferent.
What happened a couple years ago to draw you into this situation at Woomera?
That's a good question. I think primarily when they started stitching their lips. The detainees have done various things to try to somehow get their message out. They were just out there trapped. You know, nobody saw them. Nobody heard of them. And so they, of course, the government, you know, had a chance to sort of say something like, you know, that they're throwing the children overboard, you know, when they see boat people coming, to sort of turn people against them. Well, they would do that. And so when some of them stitched up their lips in a hunger strike, the government let that be known and said these are the kinds of, you know, crazy people who are coming here. But in fact, the stitching of the lips was their way of saying that, we've been gagged by the government. You know, it was symbolizing the fact they had no voice. And it worked effectively, really, quite dramatically. So people then started talking about it. Even if they were saying things against them, at least we knew they were out there. And I became very concerned about the fact that nobody had contact with them. You know, I checked around to see. I thought there must be somebody somewhere who's visiting these people, and found that there were people in there that for around 2.5 years who had not had a single visitor.
You had mentioned some protests back around Easter in March of this year. That demonstration resulted in the tearing down of the fence around Woomera and the escaping of several detainees. But here in the North America media, there was very little coverage of this action. In fact, I think the Gazette ran maybe a 50-word paragraph about that action and didn't do much to explain the situation at Woomera. Why do you think the rest of the world is sort of turning a blind eye to such a horrible human rights situation in Australia?
Well, actually, in many ways, the rest of the world is not turning quite as much a blind eye as what Australia is. But I realize, too, that the rest of the world is kind of complicit in this, in the sense that there are a lot of refugees, you know, and they're seeking help from a lot of different countries, whether they're in economic danger or political danger or whatever. People are seeking refuge, and there is this concern that, you know, they might take from us, you know, and we might have to lower our standard of living if these people who we've always believed were intended to be poor should come over and live in our country. So John Howard has just returned from a tour in Europe, and he's bragging about the fact that other countries over there are saying, yes, let's follow Australia's courageous stand. You know, here's a member of a Western pro-democratic government prepared to take a really monstrous stand against the poor of the world, and he's succeeding, and he's actually getting popular for doing it, so we can do the same thing. So that's the temptation, I think, to other governments. And of course, as more and more governments do that, then the list of those countries that will take detainees or will take refugees gets shorter and shorter, and the burden becomes greater on them as well.
The future of these individuals at Woomera, what's coming up for them?
Well, the thing that triggered this latest hunger strike that went for 17 days was an announcement by the government to the detainees at Woomera that they were either going to go back home in handcuffs or they would sign papers and be given $2,000 as kind of a gift to go back home with. And the government succeeded in getting a few of them to sign papers saying they would go back willingly, because they were convinced they were going to be forced to go back. And just prior to this, when this announcement was made, someone was forcibly sent back to Iran. We still don't know what happened in that case. There were two brothers who had stowed away to Australia from Iran. They're both Christians. And one brother was somehow talked into signing papers, agreeing he would go back. He was taken back, and before he'd even left the airport in Tehran, he was arrested. And we haven't heard anything about him or from him since. The second brother did sign any papers, and yet the the authorities in Perth forcefully took him, and other detainees at the center said there was quite a huge struggle. There were the windows broken and furniture smashed as he tried to fight with them. But they admitted some sort of drug and drugged him, took him out to the ship. Some unions went out, tried to protest, but there were police all around the ship. They spoke to the ship captain, and he said he didn't want to take the person, but the Australian government told him that if he didn't, then he would not be able to trade here. So the second brother was taken, and we don't know what happened to him either. But I believe this was particularly done to impress upon all of the detainees who are still here in Australia that the government is prepared to do that, and that they weren't bluffing when they said they're going to force a whole lot of them to go back, even though, in this case, Muslims who convert to Christianity in Iran are subject to death by hanging. So the government here is basically sending some of these people back to their death.
And we've called through public service announcements and other means here in North America for folks to call their closest Australian consulate. But what is planned for resistance in Australia to stop this kind of policy?
It's a good question. I mean, everybody in Australia is trying to find what is the right way to work. I mean, take the Minister for Immigration, for example. He's the only member of our parliament who has no email address. He's simply not interested. He just junks any mail. We write letters, and they never get read. People send petitions. You know, so much effort is being made to try to speak to the government that what people are beginning to realize now is that the only way to really change the situation is we're going to have to try to change the masses. Something like what happened with Vietnam. If we get some kind of a grassroots movement going, then the government is only going to respond, you know, when it becomes popular. They have no moral character to take a stand if it's not popular. But when it becomes unpopular to help refugees, then maybe they'll change.
Well, Dave, if folks want to take a look at Worst of Woomera, how can they get a hold of a copy?
They can order it by email. My email address is Ross, R-O-S-S, 777-AU. At bigpond.com. So if they email me and just tell me how many copies they want, and we'll do our best to send it out. We haven't been sending overseas. We can certainly send them the text by email back, and it's on a number of websites around the world, and we're trying to get people to put it on more. So through text, we can email it around the world, and maybe we can make some arrangements to mail hard copies as well. There is no copyright on it. My wife and I have written the book, but we put it in the public domain, and we ask that people give some recognition to the fact that we're the authors. But the important point is to get this message out. So, and this, of course, is how we're hoping to do our little bit to change the masses. I'm actually absolutely convinced that if the general public, whether in Australia or overseas, actually looks into the eyes of these people and sees them as real people with real families, real sufferings, they're not going to be able to continue to take this, shoot the bastards approach that so many Australians keep coming up with at the moment.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for joining us. If anyone out there would like to obtain a copy of the book and does not have access to email, you can always call the CKUT Spoken Word Department at 514-398-6787, extension 2593, and we can get you a copy of that text as well. Thanks so much, Dave.
Okay, thank you.
Woomera is the largest, most isolated detention camp in the Australian desert. Woomera has been called Australia's Alcatraz, but this prison is surrounded by toxic uranium mines.
We are staying in detention for 2 years, 3 years, more than 3 years. They call me with the number, you know? They call me with the number. This general is needed freedom. Why is he massive crying in the behind the fence? He needs that time. I'm 2 years of staying in detention. And nobody cared about me. Every time I'm trying to kill myself, and nobody cared about me.
Please help us. We need freedom. We are human. We are not animals. We come to this country for help, for assistance. And nobody save us from this detention. Please help us. Please help us.
Since 1992, Australia has automatically imprisoned anyone arriving by boat or without papers. The voices you hear are those of lives in limbo, wasting away in the Australian desert due to the xenophobic and racist immigration policies of the Australian government. Call the Australian consulate nearest you. Request a human response for the lives in limbo at Woomera. 613-236-0841.
Every human is needed freedom.